Well, spooks, ghosts, demons, witches, wizards, crystal balls, boiling cauldrons, vampires, graveyards, headstones, pumpkins with grotesque faces carved into them, skeletons, skulls, Frankenstein, zombies, bats, spiders, blood, black cats, and even the devil himself. Why do supposedly rational adults dress up as these things? Decorate their homes with these images, and worse, dress up their children as these dark characters and expose them to the dark side of the spirit world. Why do they do that? What possible good can come from these superstitions and traditions? It is estimated that American spending on Halloween is decreasing this year. From $8.78 billion in 2019, all the way down to $8.05 billion in 2020. What is wrong with our people? Evil, darkness, horror, which is modern Halloween in America, is wrong. It is not Christian. And a Christian, young or old, should have nothing to do with it. How's that for an introduction? I realized recently that I hadn't given a Halloween sermon for 20 years. So you're going to get one today. We're going to discuss several reasons that Halloween is not just wrong, it is sin. And Christians should have nothing to do with it, should not be participating in any aspect of it. Now, I doubt that you'll hear anything that you haven't heard before or read before. But it's important that we understand why we stand where we do, and that we help our children to understand it, because they are under a great deal of pressure oftentimes to compromise with this sin. Number one, reason number one, it is not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible. Now, I don't know that there's any pagan or any Christian who claims that it is in the Bible. So it's important that we understand that, and we take that fact with the heavy weight that it is. If it's not in the Bible, why are people doing it? Halloween is obviously not commanded in the Bible. In fact, God told his people not to copy the religious customs of pagan nations around them. And that's exactly what Halloween is. It's a copy. It's a cheap counterfeit of a pagan holiday that Christians tried their very best to make look Christian. Turn to Isaiah chapter 8. We'll start by reading a few scriptures in this regard. Well, if Halloween is not in the Bible, then what is? What does the Bible say about these dark themes of demons, ghosts, witches, wizards, crystal balls, boiling cauldrons, vampires, graveyards, headstones, etc., etc., etc.? Isaiah 8, in verse 19, tells us this. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter. It's interesting that we had on our way to church every week up until about a year ago. We would drive past on Route 43 on this side of Kent heading to Brimfield, a house. And on the house was kind of this built on remodeled garage. And there was a sign in the window that said, in essence, medium. Now, I thought it was a small or a large, but it was a medium. No, so you could go there and have your fortune told. And month after month, year after year, somehow in the last year or so, apparently the person went out of business. I don't know if it was COVID, that people were afraid of picking up disease from the fortune teller. But every time we'd go by, my wife would go and make make a comment about this fortune teller. Here we're told, seek a medium. A medium is one who communicates with the dead. A wizard who whisper and mutter. Why do they whisper and mutter? Well, it's so much more mysterious that way. Apparently, you can whisper to the dead, but you can't talk out loud. So he says, should not a people seek their God? You see, many Christians around the country and maybe around the world strive to say, how can we do Halloween in a Christian manner? You cannot do it. Shouldn't we be seeking God? What is in the Bible? Well, it's certainly not Halloween. Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? We'll come to see that the origins of Halloween have to do with seeking the dead for favors on behalf of the living. And God specifically says, are you kidding me? You're going to seek someone who's dead with hope that they'll give you some help when you're living? I mean, they're dead. They're dead. If they do not, well, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If it's not in the scripture, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You cannot take Halloween and make it light, make it Christian. It is impossible to do. God tells us he doesn't want us to focus on witches, wizards, communication with the dead, but to look to him and his law. God's way is described as what? Light, not darkness, not evil. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. As you know, 1 Samuel is pretty much, although it bears Samuel's name, much of the story is really of Saul. 2 Samuel, the story of David. And then off into the kings from there. 1 Samuel 15 says something about witchcraft. Now again, often in modern television, movies, entertainment, some people realize, you know, bad, evil things are not that good. Let's have good witches. And it probably began in the 60s with things like Samantha and I Dream of Jeannie. You have good witches that do good things. No, I'm sorry. All magic is black magic. And as much as you try to cast it as something good, it is not. 1 Samuel 15 verses 22 and 23 give us some insight about what God thinks about witchcraft. Samuel said, this is speaking, of course, to Saul, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What is important? Obedience. Behold, he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams. So you can carry out these physical things. What's God interested in? He's interested in obedience. So we look to the Bible to say, well, is Halloween in the Bible? Well, if not, why are we doing it? This religious holiday is what it is. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It says the sin. Witchcraft is called a sin. Why? Because witchcraft draws on the dark side of the force. And we know that Satan is spoken about in the New Testament as appearing as an angel of light. So if there is a witch that appears to do good things, it is a lie. It's a fake. It's wrong. And of course, our culture has perpetuated this since about 1939 when Glenda the Good Witch appeared in The Wizard of Oz doing all these wonderful things. All supernatural force like that is from the dark side, even though it might appear as light. So, sin, witchcraft is not cute, to God. It's not quaint to God. To him, it's akin to rebellion against him. It is not looking to God, it is looking to other spiritual forces. And even though they may appear as light, they are evil. Leviticus chapter 20. One final scripture under this point. Leviticus chapter 20. Halloween is not in the Bible. So here in the book of Leviticus, there's this warning that if you tap the dark side, even if you think it's for a good purpose, you'll find that it leads to nothing but destruction and misery. Leviticus 20 in verse 27. Basic command from God. A man, which we would typically call a wizard, or a woman, which we would typically call a witch, who is a medium. What is a medium? A medium is a go-between between the living and the dead, or between the living and the spirit world. They're supposed to be able to communicate and bring messages back and forth from the living to the dead, and more importantly, from the dead to the living. Well, when we understand that dead people are dead, they're unconscious, they have no ability to send messages one way or the other, we know the whole thing is a lie. Now, there can be demons that imitate dead people, but they are demons. They're from the dark side. So when a medium is communicating with someone who's supposedly dead, if they're communicating at all and not just lying about it, they are communicating with an evil fallen spirit, masquerading as something they are not. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits. They talk about spirit guides. I have a spirit guide that guides me in the underworld or in the other world, the world of the spirit, to bring messages back. It's all a lie. It's all a connection with fallen spirits. A man or woman who's a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. That's how God asked Israel to take care of this dabbling in the dark side. So a medium who claims to contact the dead was supposed to be put to death. It was a capital offense. The same kind of offense that if I murdered someone. Same kind of offense as if we were adulterers or adulteresses. Same punishment. So, we do not have anything to do with Halloween because it is not in the scripture. God condemns the evil dark side. A second reason we have nothing to do with Halloween is that it comes directly from pagan superstition. It comes directly from pagan superstition. Let me read to you from the World Book Encyclopedia. It sums it up this way. The Celtic festival of Samhain. Celtic festival. What do you mean, Celtic festival? Celts were not Christians. They worshipped nature primarily. And they had a festival at each of the change of seasons. And November 1st was their change of season from summer into fall. The Celtic festival of Samhain is probably the source of the present-day Halloween celebration. The Celts lived more than 2,000 years ago in what is now Great Britain, Ireland, and northern France. Their new year began on November 1st. A festival that began the previous evening honored Samhain, the Celtic lord of death. The celebration marked the beginning of the season of cold, darkness, and decay. It naturally became associated with human death. The Celts believed that Samhain allowed the souls of the dead to return to their earthly homes for this evening. So, as the seasons change and as the cold season began, they thought the veil between the dead and the living was particularly thin. And so the spirits could travel through that veil to the land of the living. Now, what problem would a Christian have with that? Well, it first of all teaches the immortality of the soul, which is absolutely false. There are no dead people in some underworld trying on at least once a year to escape to the land of the living. Well, what did these spirits do when they came back to the land of the living? They caused havoc. They messed with crops. They messed with stores. They messed with what you had saved up for the year. And if it was a dead person who had a particular, you know, attitude toward you, they'd come back to haunt you and cause you problems. Well, Encyclopedia Britannica says this: in ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October 31st. At the end of summer, the souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and this autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. It was the time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. So what would they do? They'd put out food for these spirits, the origin of the trick-or-treat customs. You put out food for these spirits so they leave you alone. So now we have little children come to the door and say trick-or-treat and have no idea whatsoever that they are perpetuating a pagan ritual from 2,000 years ago. It's tragic to think that people don't educate their children in the truth. The Encyclopedia Britannica continues: in addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations. In other words, since that veil was so thin between the spirit world and the real world, it was thought that it was best to communicate during that time. So, ceremonies like bobbing for apples were invented to show that the dead were communicating with the living. It was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. So they literally would ask Satan to show them the future. That's where the background of Halloween comes from. It's widely understood that Halloween and All Saints' Day have their origins in the ancient Celtic festival called Samhain. As the warm summer days associated with life gave way to the cold autumn and winter associated with death, the Celts believed that the division between life and death was blurred. They believed that on November 1st, the Celtic New Year, the spirits of the dead roamed the earth. Then they had to go back. Some people would light bonfires to repel the evil spirits. I know in the city I grew up in, there was a big bonfire built every Halloween that the kids would all come to after they did their trick-or-treating, at least the high school kids, the older kids. Some people would light bonfires to repel the evil spirits and wear masks to confuse the spirits and stop the dead from identifying individuals who they had disliked during their own lifetime. So why did people wear masks if they went out, especially on that night and the next day? They wore masks so that the people that hated them before they died wouldn't be able to recognize them. I mean, are you serious? The origin of Halloween lies in Celtic Ireland. Some would leave food outside for the wandering evil spirits in order to placate them and keep them from causing mischief for the living. Others would try to communicate with their dead relatives and friends through seance-like gatherings. You think, wow, this is so obvious where this comes from. And yet people have no problem with it. Well, hasn't it been Christianized? Let's look at that. How did it come to have Christian approval? Well, when the Roman Catholic Church attempted, as the Roman Catholicism moved into Britain and Ireland, when the church attempted to convert these people to their religion, they realized, you know, they like this stuff way too much. This festival of Samhain, they like it. We're not going to be able to pry them off of it. So what did they do? In the 8th century, the Roman Church, under Pope Gregory III, moved All Saints' Day from May 13th to November 1st. Of course, the day that was previously celebrated as Samhain. So, the Pope. Now, again, we pause for a moment. What do you mean, All Saints' Day? Well, you see, the Catholic Church had a habit of, when they had what they felt was a particularly good Catholic, they would assign them a day of the year. And that would be that saint's day. And then you would pray to that saint on that day and receive the special blessings of whatever their particular niche was. They got to name so many saints that they ran out of days. And so they would lump them all together onto All Saints' Day, and then they would have this day of worshiping the saints on May the 13th. Well, when they came in contact with those in Britain and Ireland who were keeping this All Hallows' Eve, we might say, this Samhain festival, they moved the All Saints' Day onto November 1st, and then it says this, The thinking that was establishing this day to honor dead saints on top of a pagan day to honor the dead, they thought would help ease people out of celebrating Samhain. In other words, if we move our All Saints Day to their New Year, we can pull them out of their New Year celebrations and into Roman Catholic belief. Well, again, Roman Catholic belief is seriously in error when it comes to the Scripture. So even if it worked, they're replacing one set of lies with another set of lies. Same reasoning was used for other holidays like Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, all of which occupy dates that were previously prominent pagan festivals. History.com says this, "It is widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related but church-sanctioned holiday." And that's an important phrase. It is a Catholic church sanctioned holiday. When people say, well, look, Halloween has nothing to do with religion, that is not true. It was set up as a religious holiday, first by the Celts and secondarily by the Catholic Church. It is a religious holiday. That's another reason we don't have anything to do with it. It has pagan, superstitious origins. We don't do anything about it. So All Souls Day, history.com continues, was celebrated similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, surprise, surprise, parades, kids in costumes, surprise, surprise, and dressing up in costumes, but as saints, angels, and devils. You see, it's going to be fine if we try to take over their holiday. We'll take all those customs and give them Christian names. And instead of kids dressing up with scary masks to fight off demons and keep them away from our house, we'll have them dress up as a saint. Now again, I would ask the question, what does a saint dress like? What are you talking about? How does a saint dress different from anybody else? Continues, "The All Saints' Day celebration was also called All Hallows or All Hallowmas from the Middle English All Hallowes, meaning All Saints' Day. The night before it, the traditional night of Samhain in the Celtic religion, began to be called All Hallows' Eve and eventually Halloween, All Hallows' Eve. So, did All Saints' Day have an evening celebration the previous night when it used to be kept on May the 13th? And the answer is absolutely not. There is no record of that. So what did they do? They moved it to November 1st and tried to take over this pagan day. Remember, something rolling around in our heads? Don't ask how these other nations worship their gods. Does it sound familiar? We'll read that in a few minutes. So, was it simply a compromise? It was, without a doubt, a compromise. An attempt to pull people into the Roman Catholic Church by assimilating their holidays. The more fun parts of Solvang celebration were also kept and associated with the evening before All Saints' Day, which came to be known as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween. Many of the old traditions of Solvang evolved into the Halloween traditions we know today. You may not be aware, but Halloween was not kept in early America. It was not kept because Christians felt it was wrong. And it really wasn't till the Irish immigration of the 1800s that it really took off in America. For instance, the old Samhain tradition of leaving food out to appease dead spirits is the origin of the modern practice of trick or treating. And the tradition of wearing masks to confuse dead spirits morphed into Halloween costumes. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. Remember, Moses in the book of Deuteronomy is addressing the second generation, we might say, those that were going to enter into the promised land. And they would come in contact with all kinds of ceremonies, religious ceremonies, similar to the ones we've been talking about. Pagan celebrations that in most cases, revolve around the seasons. Again, it's earth worship as opposed to God worship. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, Moses is warning them about this very thing that we've been reading about. When you come into the land which the Eternal your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Let me read this to you in the New American Standard. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. It is detestable to God for you, for me, to decorate our houses with spiders, with gravestones, with skeletons. God detests that. Don't do that. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That was human sacrifice. One who uses divination, consults the dead or the spirit world. One who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Or, verse 11, one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Verse 12, for whoever does these things is detestable to the Eternal. I know we don't want to be detestable to God. And because of these detestable things, the abominations, as the New King James says, the Eternal your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before your God. Interesting. God very clearly condemns the attempt to sanitize pagan traditions, pagan understanding. He wants us to have nothing to do with it. So a third reason, then, we would say we don't have anything to do with Halloween is that it glorifies evil things. It glorifies evil things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 will begin reading in verse 6. Halloween glorifies evil things. When people say, well, no, I keep a Christian Halloween. You have to ask yourself, Does that mean that I carve a pumpkin with the face of Jesus on it? Is that Christian Halloween? Do I carve a cross into my pumpkin to show that I'm a Christian keeping Halloween? Well, pretty quickly off the bat, we say, well, Jesus didn't look like that, number one. How can you carve him into a pumpkin? You don't know what he looked like. So you're carving a false image, an idol, into that. How about the cross itself? The cross, the T-shaped cross, is not what Christ was crucified on. So why would we put that to show that we are somehow keeping a Christian Halloween? Any idea what that candle inside that pumpkin represents? Where it originated from? We'll read about that in a few minutes. Christians have nothing to do with these things. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience. Do not therefore be partakers with them. For, verse 8, you were once, or formerly, in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Isn't it interesting that Halloween is kept at night? When it's dark, God's way is called light. Why on earth would we be involved with something that is darkness? Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. New American Standard says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Would God be pleased with us morphing pagan celebrations into something to try to worship him, something that's dark, attempting it to make it light? It's just not possible. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Some Christians have come up with the idea, rather than exposing the works of darkness, they have literally constructed what they call hell houses for Halloween. What is a hell house? A hell house is a house in which, just like any horror house that someone might go through, a hell house is constructed by supposed Christians to scare the living daylights out of kids, to keep them out of hell. So they'll go through and you'll walk into this hell house, and one room will be an abortion clinic. And the next room will be these other kinds of things. A drug addict who's overdosed and laying on the floor. And the idea is to scare these kids so much that they'll stay straight. We talk about a sick, sick way of thinking. That's going to be effective? It's horrible. Why would you do that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Tell the truth. Tell it what it really is. And it's literally the word expose means to reprove. Reprove it. In other words, correct it. Verse 12. For it is shameful or disgraceful, as other translations say. Shameful or disgraceful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, that's Halloween is not specifically what Paul was writing about, but the principle of having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness is absolutely the case. So again, it's an attempt to sanitize things that are evil. So we ask, do the following praise and honor God? Or in reality, do they support the work of Satan? Celebrating a holiday that involves fear and evil spirits. Does that praise and honor God? Decorating homes and yards with fearful, frightening things and images depicting evil spirits. Things crawling out of graves. Blood, knives, gunshots. Watching scary movies of murder, death, fear, and evil spirits. Does that glorify God? Why are we trying to imitate out there in the world, typical Christians, why are you trying to imitate a filthy, dirty, satanic worship festival. It's just not right. Not right at all. Let me read you an excerpt from The Facts on Halloween by Harvest House Publishers. Quote, "The carved pumpkin may have originated with the witches' use of a collection of skulls." Interesting. "With a collection of skulls with a candle in each to light the way to coven meetings." In other words, they were the sidewalk lights. A dead person's head, skull, with a light, a candle inside. That give us a different approach toward jack-o'-lanterns, maybe, than we might have had before. But among the Irish, who, as noted, prompted the popularization of Halloween in America, the legend of Irish Jack explains the jack-o'-lantern. According to the legend, a stingy drunk named Jack tricked the devil into climbing an apple tree for an apple. But then Jack cut the sign of a cross into the trunk of the tree to prevent the devil from coming down. Jack then forced the devil to swear he would never come after Jack's soul. The devil reluctantly agreed. Now again, you listen to this story, there's so much falsehood in this story. It's not funny. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Every single thing about this story is a lie. Goes on to say, Jack eventually died, but he was turned away at the gates of heaven because of his drunkenness and life of selfishness. He was sent to the devil, who also rejected him, keeping his promise. Since Jack had no place to go, he was condemned to wander the earth. As he was leaving hell, he happened to be eating a turnip. The devil threw a live coal at him. He put the coal inside the turnip and has since forever been roaming the earth with his jack-o'-lantern in search of a place to rest. Eventually, pumpkins replaced turnips since it was much easier to symbolize the devil's coal inside a pumpkin. And some Christians have the audacity to say, oh no, the light in the pumpkin is the light of Jesus. Excuse me. Excuse me. Eric Jones, in his article, Three Reasons Not to Celebrate Halloween, came out a few days ago, wrote this. Have you decided what you will be for Halloween this year? I actually have a suggestion. Be a Christian for Halloween this year. And then he says, you may ask, how does someone dress up like a Christian? The answer? By not dressing up like anything at all. In other words, ditch Halloween completely. Well said. Reason number four, the final reason we'll talk about. Reason number four that we don't keep Christmas is that it teaches lies. Halloween teaches lies. Now, there will be many other reasons you could add to these, but it teaches lies. Dead people are dead. They're not ghosts roaming around, scaring others, taking advantage of others, causing problems for others. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 and 6. There are, so many lies that are constantly taught. Just as we saw in the story of Jack O'Lantern, the devil does not come and talk to people. People do not convince the devil to climb an apple tree to get an apple. The sign of the cross carved into a tree is not something that keeps the devil from climbing down out of the apple tree. Are you kidding me? The soul is not alive after death so that you can go to heaven and be rejected, return to hell and be rejected, carry a coal of Satan's hellfire around for the rest of eternity. I mean, every single thing about it is a lie. There is no truth in it. We're told God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We're told exactly the opposite about Satan the devil. He is darkness. In Him is no light. 1 John 1 in verses 5 and 6. This is the message we've heard from Him and delivered to you or declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We cannot reform or Christianize a Satan-worshipping festival. Now, maybe Satan-worshipping festival is a little bit strong, but nonetheless, clearly, a ceremony of the dead cannot be reformed, cannot find it into Scripture, teaches lies. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. God is light. There's a reason that Halloween is always done in darkness. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. You knew we'd come to this scripture eventually, but we'll read it anyway. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28. Observe and obey all these words which I command you. Since Halloween is not in the Bible, it comes from pagan superstition. It is clearly full of lies. How could any Christian involve themselves with this darkness? Observe what I command you. Not what you make up for yourselves. You don't just go assigning an All Saints Day to a pagan festival, thinking that that's going to make it fine. Thinking that it'll bring people into your church. No, you stand for the truth. Either the truth brings someone into the church, or they don't belong here. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Eternal your God. When the Lord your God, the Eternal your God, cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, God's giving it to them. Verse 30, take heed, look out, watch out, take heed. Other translations render that, beware, take heed to yourself, that you're not ensnared to follow them. Supposed Christians who do Halloween have been ensnared. They've been snared. They see the fun things about this and they get trapped. See that you're not ensnared to follow after them, after they're destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did the Celts? How did the Catholics? How do others? How do these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise in a similar fashion. Now, literally, God was talking about do not take on the worship of other gods. We go on to see that it's more than that. You shall not worship the Eternal your God in that way. Oh, so it's not just becoming an idol worshiper or a pagan. It's don't take these things and apply them to me. So it's insulting for God to be told that I'm going to carve my pumpkin with a cross on it and put the light of Jesus in it. Who did that? The pagans did that. The false worshipers. God says, you shall not worship the Eternal your God in that way. For every abomination, where does it lead? When you decide for yourself how God should be worshipped, where does it lead? Every abomination to the Eternal which He hates, they have done to their gods. You see, human reason. And so, all kinds of horrific things have been done in the name of God. There are later on individuals in Israel who will sacrifice their own children on the hands of Baal, burn them to death because they became convinced that the best way for me to show my absolute dedication to God is to sacrifice my own child. Talk about twisted reasoning. Now, people who keep Halloween, are they going to sacrifice their children? Of course not. But have they sacrificed their children to falsehoods and lies? Absolutely yes. They have sacrificed their children in that way, given them false understanding. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. So in outside Jerusalem, in the Valley of Hinnom, would eventually be this very thing, where Israelites would be burning their children alive in worship of a false god. So God summarizes by saying, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. So for the Catholic Church to invent and replicate religious days throughout the year from their own imaginations or from borrowing it from other cultures is absolutely sinful. It's wrong. Not allowed by God. Whatever I command you, be careful to do. You shall not add nor take away from it. So turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12. Paul is making a statement here, not specifically about the topic we're talking about now, but a general warning about living God's way, living by His commandments, living by God's way of love. Romans 13 and verse 12, the night, he says, is far spent. How much more so today? The day is at hand, time of Christ's return, renewal of the earth. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Halloween is one of the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Armor of light. Let's look before we close at two arguments that are often brought up with regard to the keeping of Halloween. The first is, you're making a big deal out of something that is harmless. Kids, costumes, candy, what could be wrong about that? Are you on something? You're so hyped up about this? What's wrong with that? Are we against candy? Well, no. Are we against a costume party? Well, no. Are we against kids having fun? Well, no. So what's the big deal? Well, as we've already shown, by keeping Halloween, we are teaching our children to decide for themselves how God wants to be worshipped. We are borrowing pagan practices, claiming that they're not pagan practices, that we can somehow Christianize a pagan practice and make it right, rather than looking into the Bible and following what God defines how He wants to be worshipped. It is a religious holiday, even though many will say it has nothing to do with religion. That's just not true. It has all of its roots and all of its celebrations, all of its traditions come directly out of falsehood and false teaching. It is a clear compromise of God's truth, and it is caving into the ways of the world when God tells us to come out from among them and be you separate. Let me read to you from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It pretty well summarizes much of Christianity out there in their approach. It's a question and answer page. I have mixed feelings about how our family should be involved in Halloween. What should I do? That's the question that's posed to the association. I have mixed feelings about how our family should be involved in Halloween. What should we do? Now, for you and I, for you and me, I should say, that the answer is very obvious. Don't do it. Stay away from it. It's wrong. Pretty simple. But there's about two pages of explanation. Here's the answer. People come to different conclusions about celebrating Halloween, particularly if they have young children or grandchildren to consider. You start right off in the immediate answer, compromise. Well, you know, people come to different conclusions. What's left out of the very first statement? What does God say? That answers it real quickly. Well, people come to different... Continues. For some people, this holiday is a time for dress up and candy. It's an opportunity for fun. Well, no one would deny that. Others express concern for their children's safety or for the emphasis that is often made on violence or horror at this time of year. Oh, really? Those who are interested in the right or wrong celebration of the celebration may look at the holiday's origin in the occult and believe it should not be celebrated at all. They're aware that some groups celebrate Halloween as a tribute to Satan. Pagans to this day keep Halloween in a very similar manner to their Celtic origins a couple thousand years ago. On the other hand, some think it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. On the other hand, this is why Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been able to maintain itself all these decades, because there's nothing solid about it. It's just love Jesus and that's all you have to do. Well, they don't really define what that is. What does that mean? We know love Jesus means obey him. They don't know that. So they're able to float all the way through. On the other hand, others recognize that Halloween, the eve of All Saints Day, November 1st, is also associated with Martin Luther and the Reformation. Then it's okay, see? Well, where did All Saints Day come from? Who invented this? It's a false day to begin with. Why does that now make it right? They celebrate the religious freedoms won at that time in history. Now, have you ever heard, anyone here, raise your hand, if you heard, we keep Halloween to honor Martin Luther and the Reformation and religious freedoms won in the church? Okay, one person has heard this. Is that why people keep Halloween out there? Not a chance. Since each of these perspectives contain truth, it is difficult to know how to respond. What does the Bible say? What does God say? We encourage each family to develop their own approach to Halloween based on their own convictions and the options for celebration available to them. Just do whatever you think is best. Don't listen to God. Don't look for God's will in this circumstance. The responsibility to make this decision rests on the adults in the family, not the children. The peer pressure on children is far too great for them to be objective. I would say the same about adults as well. Certainly, providing a safe, fun environment must be a priority. Some parents adapt the traditional Halloween practices, while others develop totally different alternatives. These alternatives may include fall festival parties, where children are encouraged to dress in a particular theme, such as positive cartoon characters or book characters, famous historical characters, or Bible heroes. And again, we ask, why are you trying to come up with an alternative? Why not find out what God says and do that? We do not have an alternative to Halloween. We keep what God says. They have an alternative to God's holy days. And they're not good alternatives. Continues, carrying out that theme with simple acting can be fun and an opportunity for teaching values. Children will always be attracted to costumes and treats. Finding positive ways to enjoy these pleasures is the primary challenge for caring adults. So are we against costume parties? Of course not. Are we against costume parties on Halloween? Absolutely. Absolutely. We want nothing to do with it. Goes on to say, if you decide to make a major change in the way your family celebrates Halloween, you may not need to do all the work yourself. We would encourage you to contact churches in your area to determine what activities are being planned. Rather, this is a great statement as they close, rather than separate completely from the night's activities, some Christians give gospel tracts along with treats to children who come to their homes, and make Halloween an opportunity to witness for Christ. Others offer safe places for lighthearted fun. I mean, can you see it? 7-year-old gets home with his bag of goodies, and he's reaching in, and he gets out that Bible tract, and he reads through it, and he turns into a Christian. No doubt about it. It happens all the time. Again, it's sad, but it's just a compromise. To try to say, well, let's take this pagan celebration, somehow try to redeem it a little bit by making it somehow around Jesus. It can't be done. John MacArthur, famous Bible teacher on the radio, grace to you. On his website, he writes, after going through all the troubles and paganisms of Halloween, the conclusion is, quote, there's another option open to Christians. Limited, non-compromising participation in Halloween. Now, can you see the cognitive dissonance there? Limited, non-compromising participation. Well, how do you do that? Do you only eat candy in the shape of angels? Is that how you non-compromise with Halloween? You dress up as an angel instead of a demon? Is that non-compromising? Doesn't make any sense. Goes on to say, there's nothing inherently evil about candy, costumes, or trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. Well, we'd agree there's nothing inherently evil about candy or costumes, but trick-or-treating in the neighborhood, when it's a direct result of leaving food out for demons? Yeah, there is something inherently evil about that. In fact, it says, all of that can provide a unique gospel opportunity with neighbors. Listen to this reasoning. Even handing out candy to neighborhood children, provided you're not stingy, can improve your reputation among the kids. You see, if you give really good treats at Halloween, they'll say, wow, what nice people they are. I want to be just like them and go to their church. As long, he continues, as long as the costumes are innocent and the behavior does not dishonor Christ, trick-or-treating can be used to further gospel interests. What a bunch of malarkey. A bunch of malarkey. Have you ever heard of a person going trick-or-treating and then giving their lives to Jesus? I know he's never heard of it. But somehow, again, you sanitize this, you Christianize this. So that's the second argument. What about those who say Christianity has co-opted the day? We've taken it over. We have Christianized what formerly was pagan. You know, they say that about Halloween. They say that about Easter. They say that about Christmas. They say that about Valentine's Day. We have taken them over. We've won them over. We've made them into something Christian. Then why, pray tell, do you still do the same things all the pagans did? If you've won this over, who has won whom? When you get right down to it. Did Christianity really Christianize this day and all those others by taking them over? Or has it conceded to them? Has it conceded to say they're not going to give up what they like so much? So let's see if there's a way that we can allow them to continue to do that and put a covering on it as if it's okay. Has Christianity won out over the dark spiritism of the original celebration of Halloween? Have they won? I mean, do you go down your street? You know, my neighbor up the street is not decorating his home with Bibles or plaques of the Ten Commandments. People don't decorate their houses with mermaids and superheroes. The decorations are skeletons, ghosts, graves, graveyards, hands, dismembered hands coming across. I saw for sale a candy bowl that has, you know, you put your candy in it so when the kids come to the door they can reach in and get the candy. Well, what's in the middle of the bowl? A dismembered hand that moves. So when the kids put their hand in to grab candy, it moves back. How delightful is that? That's just wonderful. That's obviously Christianized. Someone's going to say, well, that's the hand of Jesus reaching out to them. How do you deceive yourself to believe those things? People don't decorate with godly things. They decorate with evil things. How about the movies that are marketed for Halloween? Are they about rainbows and sunshine and unicorns? No, they're about dastardly, murderous people. Horror flicks. Can we really keep this day, dress up in a Christian costume, and use it to witness to those others who are dressed up as zombies and demons, with fake blood smeared all over their face? Can we replace Halloween with a quote-unquote harvest festival of some sort, where our kids dress up as angels or nice characters? Is the giving in to the concept just that? Isn't it just giving in to the concept that these pagan festivals are just too much fun to give up, so we repackage them and we try to make them Christian? Are we not, in that case, following the world when we do this? We're not teaching the world truth. We're following behind. In that case, we're admitting that evil is much stronger than light. And we have to somehow take what they have and try to rearrange it in hopes that they might follow the truth. The whole thing is absolutely backward. Hardly fulfills the scripture that admonishes us to come out from among them and be you separate. Separate. Interestingly, God has not asked us to imitate or to try to win over a pagan festival by manufacturing a false celebration. It is not possible to take a pagan celebration and Christianize it. Not possible. Instead, God gave His people the real deal. He gave them His holy days. He expects us to help others out of their pagan celebrations and their equally misguided alternatives, to help them repent of those sins and come to understand the need to keep the days that God commands. We don't need to come up with an alternative to Halloween when we already have the original celebration, the best celebrations in human history, God's holy days. They outline His plan of salvation. So, brethren, Halloween is a worldly observance that teaches and celebrates darkness and evil, as well as the false teaching of the immortality of the soul. Halloween's flimsy substitutes of non-biblical All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Eve are cheap imitations, and they're a futile attempt to make things that are wrong somehow appear to be acceptable. So let's teach our children the truth about these things. Help them walk in the beautiful light of God's truth.